How do you, you interpret it?
Something that I had, that I was always dieting in my 20s too. Mm-hmm. You know, when I lived in New York and we walked so much and we had better metabolisms and stuff. So it's harder to have willpower now mm-hmm. that your metabolism's slowing down. You're not moving as much as you do when you're, you yeah. know, living in a big city, big vibrant city. You're driving more and stuff. I think it's, for me, it's determination over just, because to me, willpower kind of means a little bit to me, mm-hmm. like just not allowing it to happen, mm-hmm. right? And some people that works for me, that doesn't. That makes me worse sometimes. So I think just being determined, like I'm determined that I'm going to, you know, have a good day. I'm going to have a good, healthy thing. But if something comes along the way that I'm having that 1 hour later, I'm mm-hmm. still thinking about that Tootsie Roll or whatever, it's okay.
Yeah.
That's what this program's made for. It's made to accommodate all food for all different kinds of people. For me, that is a little more of a gentle, okay, have the Tootsie Roll, mm-hmm. and then tomorrow, get away from the Tootsie Roll or whatever later. No more Tootsie Rolls, you know, or whatever.
Boys and girls, your attention, please. Presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Welcome back to the podcast. This is Patrick. This is a brand new intro that I tried out. I thought it was kind of cool. Anyways, this is part two of our conversation with Johanna, episode number 9. Strange that we've done 9 of these. I'm not even sure when we started. What? August, maybe in the summer? Maybe? No. Probably before that, right? Anyways, in this particular portion of our conversation with Johanna, part two of our conversation, we kind of get down into the nitty-gritty of her weight loss journey, specifically more WW-related aspects of that, teaming up with her partner, Bruce, her just general thoughts about things. Related to weight loss. I thought it was a good conversation and I really, really enjoyed it. And I have received a lot of feedback from folks who listened to the first part and very positive stuff. And I hope there are some folks out there that are willing to sit in the chair and talk into the microphone and talk about their journey and talk about their story, because it's really, really helpful stuff. We do have a taker for our next, guest here on the Weighing In with Patrick podcast. And I will talk about that more after, Johanna and I finish speaking here in part two. And I would also like to talk about some statistical stuff that I have found about long-term weight loss and maintaining weight loss over the long haul, and kind of what that picture statistically looks like and why you should not be afraid to hear what the numbers are. So without further ado, please sit back and enjoy our conversation together, myself and the one, the only, Johanna.
You said that, like, this podcast is helpful. Mm-hmm. Can you think of any one moment or moments that have a lot of things in common that you've experienced a couple times that seems to be pretty meaningful that you experience in a meeting?
Just people's challenges and how they've overcome them, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, in the podcast too, when I listened to Kathy's, there was a lot of stuff I could relate to. I think it's kind of cool, your podcast too, because we learn a little bit more about our tribe. Mm-hmm. We don't know what everybody's going through on any given day. So it's kind of, and we don't know what their backstory is or why they do what they do, right? Mm-hmm. So I think for me, that's kind of cool to get the backstory. I'm a very curious person, so it's kind of cool to get the backstory, and it makes you understand more mm-hmm. how people tick.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
And I think everybody that shows up at a meeting is fodder for this podcast. They should all.
I think they should. I would love to hear, you know, everybody in the room talk.
I agree.
Because some people don't speak in the meetings, and that's cool. You know, you glean what you need. You mm-hmm. take what you need.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. You mm-hmm. know, you just take what you need from it. But every single meeting, I didn't find that so much on the online meetings. Mm-hmm. Don't know why. Yeah. That's just for me. The in-person meetings to me are much more helpful because you can always pick something up or get a tip from someone or ask like, hey, mm-hmm. what do you mean you did that? How did you make that? You know, or whatever.
Yeah.
What did you substitute for that made it so low in points?
Right.
That kind of thing. Yeah. Or how did you exercise with a hurt leg or that kind of thing?
Like, I think, you know, Courtney utilizes the online meetings, mm-hmm. like especially when we're traveling, right? But she'll also use them like she just kind of needs like a booster shot. She may have moments where she just has got to get with other people that are in that mindset too.
Right,
you know.
And I think that is a piece of it too. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great point. You gotta be with your tribe. You mm-hmm. gotta be with the people that think like you're thinking or going in the direction that you're going in. Because if you don't want to self-sabotage and you don't want anybody to sabotage you by going, oh, come on, you can have a piece of cake. Yeah, I can. I don't want one, but thank you. I'm saving it for something else.
Like, as you've progressed, may I ask, you can politely decline, and I don't want to make our conversation about numbers, mm-hmm. okay? Can I ask how much weight you have lost?
Well, altogether, probably 1 million pounds back. lost and gained. But this time I'm getting close to 40.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm short.
Yeah.
So that's a lot on mm-hmm. a short person. And it's a lot on your joints.
Right.
I read something that for every pound you lose, it's like 4 pounds mm-hmm. on your joints. So mm-hmm. 10 pounds is like 40 pounds off your joints. And I can feel it too because I was eligible to get both knees replaced for knee replacement. One mm-hmm. was just torn up.
Oh, wow.
But one was just kind of beat up from trying to support the other one all those years. And the weight didn't help.
Wow.
But now that I've lost this weight, I'm kind of backing away from the idea of knee replacement because it's not bad now.
What is your current WW membership status?
Lifetime.
You are a lifetime member.
Yep.
Congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you. I think you were the first person to say congratulations to me too.
Oh.
Yeah.
How long have you been at Lifetime now?
Almost a year.
What is different in the world now that you're Lifetime, if anything?
It's a little bit of pressure because you hear how hard it is to maintain. Mm-hmm. But it's also, I'm very determined and it's also, and I've never made Lifetime. Mm-hmm. So that feels like a loss for me, you know, like a big miss opportunity for me that I never got there. I always thought I had it. Mm-hmm. And when I finally said, I don't have it, I need this tribe mm-hmm. and I need these like disciplines around my life. Mm-hmm. It helped and I actually made it. So I am grateful.
What problems did it solve in your life becoming a Lifetime member?
Well, my knees don't hurt. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, that was improving as mm-hmm. the experience went on. I have a second tribe of all the other Lifetime people mm-hmm. to kick ideas and concepts and things around. And I don't know. I just, it's something inside me mm-hmm. that feels much more accomplished and much more positive, yeah. I think. Yeah.
And so moving forward, you had indicated just a second ago, you said, I've heard about how tough it is to maintain it.
Yeah.
Has that been your experience?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes it creeps back up on you. You don't mm-hmm. think, you know, you, I got it. And I can hear that voice. You got it. You've done mm-hmm. it. You've got it. And then I get on the scale and it's like, ooh, you did not do what you thought you did. You mm-hmm. know, it was much worse. But then I also hear someone like Kathy saying, I'm easing back up there. I got to watch. And that's also like a little flag to me too. Like, yeah, it can happen to anybody and it's happening to you. So you need to also take heed and watch. So that's pretty good.
And so you...
I will tell you a very cute story about one of the Lifetime members that did this to me, which was pretty funny. There was a lady that was weighing everybody and she was not our normal person. Mm-hmm. She was a sub. And I got on the scale and unbeknownst to me, someone had put their foot on the scale behind me and pressed down. And it was another Lifetime member. And when I was like, what's the matter? And the poor lady weighing me was like, oh my God, she just had this look in her eye of fear. And I was like, what? And I heard the lady behind me laughing, going, I had my foot on the scale. And that the lady weighing us looked so relieved because she said, God, I didn't know how I was going to tell you gained 30 pounds this week. So I thought that's right. So we, you know, it can be fun too. We have fun moments too. Right. Yeah.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here for a second. Mm-hmm. All right. If you had gotten to a point in your weight loss where you were 1 pound shy of achieving your lifetime status, or no, let me put it a different way. Let's say you kept getting 4 weeks of maintaining that, you know, after you hit your goal weight. For those of you who don't know, you hit your goal weight. You correct me if I got something wrong here, Johanna. You hit your goal weight. And then it's 6 weeks mm-hmm. of staying within 2 pounds mm-hmm. Of that weight. Right. And let's say that you kept doing that 4 weeks in a row and then you'd gain 3 pounds and they wouldn't. Now you got to start over again.
Yeah.
What do you think would happen?
I think that I would, now that I've heard someone that this has happened to, mm-hmm. I think I would probably approach it the same way they did. They walked in, they said, you know, we all know that they were a Lifetime and they said, hi, my name is X and I'm a new Weight Watcher person again. Yeah. You know, I need to get back on it.
Right.
That kind of thing. I think you got to take it with a grain of salt. It's mm-hmm. only so many pounds, yeah. right? But I did have a problem for 6 months of being 0.2, 0.4 for my goal, like for 6 months.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't moving up 4, down 2, up mm-hmm. 2, down 2, you know, whatever, flat, whatever. It just wasn't moving. And I was getting so frustrated. I was going to say, you know what? This is good enough. I'm going to stop. I'm done.
Say that again. What do you mean?
Like
this
I was
good enough.
It's good enough. The weight that I was at was good enough. I was only 0.2 or 0.4 for my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and I was just very frustrated, but then I was in a meeting and I took a breath and I said, I can get a grip on yourself. You're in a room with like-minded people. Everybody struggles. Mm-hmm. It's 0.2. You can do this. Just stick with it. What were you going to do afterwards anyway? Gain it back, you mm-hmm. know? So just stick with it.
Like what Rick said, where am I going to go?
Right. Right.
You know? So, I mean, if you stop, what are you also agreeing to?
Failure.
Which
well,
is,
for me.
Sure. And, but that would be what? If you stop.
Gain it back. Feel it in my knees. Second knee replacement.
And if you're like me, you don't just gain it back. You gain it back plus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was a story in my life.
And like no potato chip or piece of cake or ice cream cone or anything like that is going to be nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing tastes as good as this being at your weight, at the right weight feels.
So that moment in the meeting where you're like, what am I thinking here? Why would I just walk away from this?
Right. How stupid was that thought?
What? Well, I think, but it's a rational thought in a way. If follow me on this, you feel free to disagree. But if one has placed this high level of importance on getting 2 more inches further and they just can't make up the 2 inches, and that is the be-all, end-all of why they're doing this in the moment, right? It makes sense why somebody go, oh, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. But for whatever reason, you were faced with that as a really good option and you stepped away from it. What went into that thinking?
It's a different mindset.
How'd you get there, though?
It's, I think, years of conditioning and being at the meetings and hearing other people mm-hmm. who didn't give up and hearing why they didn't give up. Mm-hmm. And then just being confident enough to know, look, I've already done this. I've made mm-hmm. some nice, I've had some nice accomplishments so far. I'm happy with it. And I'm not going to stop, because all that's going to mean is it's going to, mm-hmm. the same thing's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be doing the same thing. I'm doing it differently this time. So mm-hmm. I don't have the same outcome. And then I have a partner that's super supportive and was right. also like, don't beat yourself up. It's right. going to happen. Just don't beat yourself up. It's going to happen. Give yourself some grace. You always say, give grace to people. You need to do it yeah. for yourself, you know?
And so, you know, when you talked about this is going to be a lifetime thing,
yeah.
right? I mean, and I don't mean to sound smart alecky about mm-hmm. this, but in a way, you've just made yourself a lifetime member right now. Okay. So if you didn't hit this number necessarily, mm-hmm. yeah, okay. You may have to pay every month. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago about, well, why do you want to get a lifetime? Well, so I don't have to pay for it.
Okay. That's the wrong reason.
Why else?
yeah.
Like, why else? I mean, have you thought about it? Like, why is that important? It's a budget thing,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I'm sure for some people it is.
It can
not
be.
It's not an inexpensive.
Not terribly emotional.
Though. Program. But I think if you've done it, if you've been to the meetings mm-hmm. and you've really listened to it and you mm-hmm. really put your, and you really want to learn from it.
Yeah.
I think those are takeaways. You hear it every week. I can't give up. I'm not going to give up. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let this win. I'm not, just from the group around you. And it kind of helps you build it up. Like, yeah, I'm not going to give up either. Yeah. I'm going to keep doing this. So if I'm point two, I'm point two. I just got to get over it.
You recently told me about an email you received from the folks at WW.
Yeah.
Can you tell the folks out there, if you're comfortable talking
sure.
about it, all right, what was the content of that email?
It was something to the effect of, because I deleted it almost immediately in a huff, but it was something to the effect of, if you're at a plateau, why don't you consider using these new, going through the telemed doctor and using yeah. this new injectable product or whatever, this weight loss product that we mm-hmm. now have. And I thought, no, for me, I'm not going to do that. One, I don't know down the road what this kind of product is. Maybe there's no problem with it down the road. Maybe there is. You never know. People don't find things like this out until 10, 15 years down the road.
Right.
But because if I stop taking, I'm going to be back in the same position. I need to do this for me, and I need to know how to eat right. I need to handle it when I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of having the right mindset too. And that's one of the things you learned a lot about at Weight Watchers in the meetings.
I discussed this a little bit with your better half.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to hear what you think about this. What message, if there was a message about it at all in that email, do you think WW was conveying about how one should think about a plateau?
I was a little irritated by that. Why? By that email. Because I thought it was sort of like, hey, you want an easy way out?
Mm-hmm.
Take the shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I read it. That's only because it took me 5 years to get where I am. Mm-hmm. And it's not a jealousy thing for people who lose weight. You know,
sure.
Bless the person who mm-hmm. wants to lose some weight and get healthy. But I truly feel like that program that they've got should be tied into, you must go to the meetings and you...
Mm-hmm.
That would make more sense to me, not... must sure. be, but it would make more sense to me if it was tied in. And I'm sure they do offer it, but it doesn't seem to be like, it wasn't like, you know, you'll still be going to meetings, you'll still be doing this, and you just get that as a bump. It didn't read like that to me.
Okay.
It read, you're at a plateau. Why don't you try the injectable?
Plateau bad.
plateau bad.
Quick fix, plateau. And
quick
yet,
fix, that was it.
And yet, you have told me about things in your life that took a risk on, you challenged yourself. It may not have gone exactly as you had hoped it would go, but you seemed to get something out of the experience and the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Or did I misunderstand?
No, I think you're right.
And we heard today, if I remember correctly, about in our meeting, the technique of the week was it leave it?
Yeah, no, save it, savor it, shrink it.
Skip it.
Skip it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. One of the things I think is true, I think this is a universal truth that if you're going to grow from something, if you're going to be strengthened by something, mm-hmm. it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I think there's this phrase that says, if you're going to grow through it, you got to go, or you're going to go yeah. through it, you got to, you can yeah. grow from through it or something like that, yeah. grow through it.
If you're going to grow from it, you got to go through it.
That's it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
And you also shared that in order to obtain lifetime, you struggled through 6 months of almost.
Yeah.
Almost there.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even let them say it when I made it. Yeah. I waited like a week or two because I wanted to make sure it would stick.
Okay. Now,
yeah.
Here's a question for you. If you could go back to make it easy where it just happened and there was no struggle, no type of plateau insight at all, or you could struggle for those 6 months and come out on the other side, which one would you choose and why?
I mean, everybody wants it easy,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think the lesson is there. I think that there's something, I think I learned something those during those 6 months. I had to believe I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to know that I was going to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to really learn from other people too.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, that worked better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I would go that route again, as frustrating as it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I share your opinion.
Oh, good.
And I also, to add to it, I'm the type of person that has this inner infant that just must have things now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I don't get it, I throw a tantrum. And I tend to scuttle the ship when I don't get my way. You know, cut your nose
take
off.
Take everybody down.
Right. And yeah. So, and I've been, I've said it many times, and I will continue to say it more, that, you know, those last 13 pounds that helped me get to goal took me 50 weeks. 50 weeks.
And I think we should probably talk more about that as a group, because I think there are more of us struggling
and
with that.
I had to learn to think my way through the struggle of I'm not where I want to be and I keep trying, or I'm not getting the feedback from my actions that I used to get. It was like I hit 100 pounds and it was like nothing.
Right.
Everything shut down on me, right? And I think it's in those plateau moments where you're now practicing for maintenance down the road.
Right.
You actually hit your lifetime goal.
That's really a smart
yeah.
thought process on it.
And I think if WW was ever going to change anything, they would address plateaus and their inherent frustration causing mm-hmm. elements, but their inherent teaching qualities
yeah.
as well.
I think we should do it more often. And if, you know, whether it's WW or us yeah. as a group, we should, because I right. think there are several,
yeah,
there are quite a few mm-hmm. lifetime members in the room. We can all learn something from each other
yeah.
that might help us, because it can be frustrating at times.
Yeah. So you were a lifetime member before somebody told you were a lifetime. And the moment you said, in my opinion,
uh-huh.
the moment you said, I'm doing this for the rest of my life, and then you started to back that up with your behavior,
mm-hmm.
and you really believed in your heart and in your mind and in your soul that these are the things that I need to do in order to maintain a level of wellness
right.
in my life.
And I will, full disclosure, I got the flu. During Christmas last year, and that was how the last 4 pounds came off. But I was able to keep them off.
See,
once I got them off. So for me, I guess that's what I needed.
Did you choose to get the flu?
No, I did not. But okay. I was thinking of, and I think I mentioned it in the meeting after they said I got to lifetime. I said, in the movie The Devil Wears Prada,
mm-hmm.
One of the characters, Emily Blunt, says, "I'm just one stomach flu away from my goal weight," and that's what I thought of when I got to lifetime.
You know, again, as long as your aim is not to be disordered.
Right.
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 If it comes off during while you're sick, but then you're able to pick up and live that healthy lifestyle mm-hmm. and do the thing that we always tell ourselves we're going to do and when we get off the train too early.
Yeah.
Oh, now I can do this from now
but
on.
But then it was like, now I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I've been working toward. Yeah. Now what do I do? You know, and I kind of knew from yeah. people talking about it, but it mm-hmm. was like, now I got to do that.
I would submit, Johanna, that those 6 months of struggle were more helpful to you than every meeting combined you went to and weighed in and had a loss.
And that could be. That could
that's
be.
Just my,
you know?
That's just how I think about it. Yeah. You know? If you're not, if it doesn't suck a little, and we almost kind of, somebody almost kind of said it today, which is embrace the suck. Uh-huh. You know, uh-huh. there's a lesson in here somewhere. I just know it. Sometimes you just got to wait for it yeah. to present itself.
Yeah, and be open to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from somebody who is in a marriage relationship with another WW member, are there any pitfalls in that you can detect?
He gets a lot more points than I do. no, I think it's great to have that support, you know, and it's easier for me. I'm cooking for one. He understands mm-hmm. like the way we're eating and what we're eating a lot more. I think it could benefit a lot more men to
yeah.
participate in the program no with their wives. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an extra thing of support. You know, if I have a bad week or he has a bad week, we're there to give each other grace, you know, encourage yeah. each other to give ourselves a little grace, mm-hmm. you know, and we're there to celebrate too when we lose, you know,
kick in the butt.
Yeah. Or to say, hey, you mm-hmm. don't wonder why you're not losing weight. You're yeah. not doing the program. You're not right. following it.
Right.
So I think it's great to live with someone that's like-minded that yeah. way.
What effect, if any, has being together in WW had on the quality of your marriage, if any?
I think it's had some. Yeah. You know, it's we communicate a little bit more. Mm-hmm. We are a little bit more. We plan more.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, back then it was just sort of, well, you want to go to dinner? I don't care. You want to go? Okay, let's just go. It'll be easier. You yeah. know, it'll be quicker. And now, you know, one of us will say, hey, I could grill some chicken or I could throw this to, why don't I make a salad and you grill some chicken and we'll have that tonight. Or,
yeah.
you know, I'm a little inattentive. So I have like a weekly menu, but we sit down every weekend and we talk about like, before I go to the grocery store, what are we going to have? So then I'm sticking with, you know, what right. we want. Oh, I'd really like to have a, you know, whatever pasta one night. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's build that in then and work around yeah. it and have lower point
right.
nights the rest of the week or something. I mean, and you see this, he brought us a plate of apples.
Yes.
Back in the day, that would have been like something baked.
And you know what makes me mad about that is he got done talking about what a barbecue pit master he is.
I know.
And he walks out here with apples. What is the meaning of this?
It's a good thing, though. It's a good thing for us. It is a meaning that we are going to be able to walk around in Europe together.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach for it.
Yeah, please.
How does what you bring to the table show itself in how the two of you work the program?
I'm almost uber organized. Mm-hmm. So I think that I plan the meals mostly. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of the cooking. He does most of the outside grilling and stuff like right. that. So I plan it and pull it together. So if like, okay, we're not going to have chicken breast
yeah.
tonight, we're going to have pork. So what can we do? That's no points, you know? And I try to make it kind of easy for him to think through it. Like, right. oh yeah, that looks good. They all look about the same for me. It mm-hmm. looks good. I'd want to eat more of this or less of that.
Yeah.
So I think that helps encourage him. He is the always will be willing to grill something, you know, like doesn't matter. 8 o'clock at night, 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, whatever it is. He's always the one that is, listen, we don't have a lot of time today. What should we plan to do tonight? So he right. comes up with that too. I'm the taker action. I take the action on it. You know, I make the list and he gets a good look at it. And he also has feedback like, oh, should we be eating rice three times
this week?
You are
the initiator?
Yes, thank you. And he is the feedback giver.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So when the two of you travel, is there a lot of planning that goes into it? Or is it we're traveling, so this is, you know, we'll be a little looser with things? Like, what's your...
We go in a little looser, but what we find each other doing more and more the longer we're with the program is going, you know, I ate a piece of cake yesterday. And one day I had 4 pieces of cake.
Like those bowling bumpers in the alley?
Yeah.
So it's not like you're super restricted, but
right.
You're not going to go off into the other.
Yeah. To my, well, so to my point earlier about Italy, you know, we go to Germany a lot. I want to have cake with them, my family, you know, when it's a cake hour, I want, I don't want to sit there with my cup of coffee, like looking sad sack and having them all enjoy it. And so I have a piece of cake or two or four that one day, but then the next day I'll go, you know what? I need to really pull back a little bit. And that's starting to become like a muscle memory for us now. You know, we are getting muscle memory for it. We can tell when we've kind of overdone it. We don't really feel as good.
Yeah.
And so now we're
You don't need a scale back. To tell you,
type thing. Or I had enough at lunch. Yeah. We don't need to have dinner. Right. You know, that kind of thing. Or I'll have like some fruit or, you know, whatever. Yeah. So it's kind of nice. Some of it's starting to feel like more automatic, I think, for both of us, that's especially when we travel.
That is what the behaviorists call a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned that you are a reformed smoker.
I am.
As am I.
Patrick.
Yeah, I had to stop twice. And by twice, I mean longer than 5 years each time. I'm now, I think I'm in my, no, I'm sorry. The first time I quit, I think I quit for 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And then something caught my attention and I started to obsess about it. And then I kind of set things up in my life and painted myself into this nice, convenient little corner where now I don't have a choice. I have to go smoke now, right? You know, what are some of the similarities in trying to stop smoking and trying to live a healthier lifestyle? And I'm purposely keeping those two things separate. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, in smoking, it was just, that was just so unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just, I remember we bought our first house. And I was like, I don't want it to smell like that.
Yeah.
We went to my husband's, one of my husband's family. And they smoked in the house. And I was like, oh, this is gross. So then it was move us outside to smoke. And then it was like, you know what? Let's stop smoking because it's not helping us.
We're so it became like an aesthetic thing.
It started that way.
Yeah.
And then it was like, yeah, it's expensive. It's not good for you. It's all these things. It's this. We could find many more reasons not to smoke than to smoke. And so we worked at it. It took me a couple times. It took Bruce a few more. But once we got it, and that was like 30 years ago almost, you know. But once we got it back, now we can't stand to be around smoking.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's, but I guess it's like that for a lot of things.
That's, yeah, that's par for the course, I think.
Yeah.
Especially if you've allowed that change to really kind of get into your pores, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. Because when it's there, when you're smoking, that's in your pores too.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yes,
you know,
it
you
is.
Were talking about, you know, when you're happy, you eat. When you're sad, you eat, right?
And it's the same thing with a cigarette, though. Now, when we stopped, we both gained a ton of weight.
Mm-hmm.
I gained 40 pounds, and I think he gained a little bit more, not much. But he also said, I'm not going to start smoking, and we can always lose the weight.
Mm-hmm.
Little did we know.
Yeah.
It would be a long struggle to get that weight off. But we're doing it.
Yeah, I always use that. I always told myself that, you know, I'll just gain weight. So that would be reason not to stop smoking. The funny part was that I was already a fat bastard. So, you know, like, you're already overweight. So what's another 20 pounds?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like load the cannon type thing. It would be more important to stop smoking. Which was, what do you think was more challenging or difficult? Losing weight, getting on a healthier lifestyle, or not smoking?
I think it's a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why? What causes that?
I think our society. I mean, we have fast food. We have, you know, restaurants that use tons of oil and tons of salt and tons of butter and, you know, that kind of thing. It's easy to not eat healthy in America. It's easy to do it, to not eat healthy anywhere, really, not just in America. But for me, that because you have to eat.
Yeah.
You don't have, if you don't eat, you don't live.
Right.
But if you don't smoke, you probably live longer.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
The lifestyle change was harder.
I remember I had very similar experiences you did with the smoking thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the time I was a full-time volunteer and the people I was living with at the time were traveling to a retreat, I believe, or coming from a retreat. And back then, smoking when we're traveling, you know, we'd stop at a gas station or something like that. I would light a cigarette, you know, I'd get, go stand off away from the pumps, of course. Right. And then I couldn't find anywhere to put the butt. And so what I would do is I would flick the head off the cigarette, roll the butt up and stick it in my pocket. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was smoking, I didn't really have a very good sense of taste. And I definitely didn't have a good sense of smell. And so I couldn't smell what other people were smelling. Mm-hmm. And so I remember I was driving this van filled with three females in the back. And as we're driving, the person in the far back said, "Is somebody smoking in here?" And I went, "Oh my God, really? Mm-hmm. You can smell it back there?" And that was the first, that was the first domino that fell. I was like, I must smell awful. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Who cares what it is? Whatever it is that gets
made you,
you
stop, right? Yeah, whether to, it's shame or what. Yeah.
The second thing was I remember walking into the drugstore looking for the nicotine gum. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking high and low for it. I can't find it. And then as I'm walking out, I've finally given up and I'm walking out of the CVS and I see behind the counter, CVS was selling cigarettes at the time, was the wall of cigarette packs and cartons, right? And up above it on the top shelf was nicotine gum. And I was like, what is the message here?
Yeah.
What is the message? Maybe they're just selling me nicotine. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's all this is about. I was like, all right, I'm not going to give them any more of my money. And I was like, from that point on, I was like determined I'm never smoking again.
And that's what Bruce, when you know, I think when you're ready to do it, then you do it.
Whatever the reason is.
You'll find it. Mm-hmm. You'll find it. Hopefully you'll find it.
Yeah.
But I remember Bruce was saying after he quit smoking, he's like, I went in the elevator today and there was a guy that had been smoking and I felt like I was going to get sick.
Something.
And then he said, and I can't imagine how many people I made feel unwell because I smelled like smoke.
Yeah.
So I thought that's,
man,
that was kind of enlightening to me.
Whatever the reason is. It's your reason. Mm-hmm. I think as long as it somehow strikes you on an emotional level, whether it's losing weight, quitting this, starting that, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The important thing is if you stop thinking about it, it almost certainly won't make a change.
That's right.
Just You're consider right. it. Just keep weighing those pros and cons.
Yeah.
The Charlotte's current food culture, I would say, I will use the word advanced.
Mm, I think so.
You would agree with that?
I think it's a good food city, yeah.
Do you have any go-to restaurants in the area that you also believe they truly, not from a self-deception standpoint now, they're truly helpful to you because they have menu items on there that are helpful to you and your wellness goals?
Well, I'm a little bit more limited in where I can eat because I have a gluten allergy.
Okay.
So, and what I find is that there are some good, really great options, but, you know, they load on the fat and the cheese and the, you know, to make up for the loss of the bread or the breadcrumbs or the fried or whatever.
Right.
But most places, there are a lot of places in Charlotte now, in Fort Mill and Rock Hill, that you can find something good and you can, I try to always sub out if I can't get french fries because it's a rarity to get french fries out.
Right.
Which I would share with Bruce. But if I don't get a couple fries, then I'll try to get a salad with whatever I eat, you know, and you can always get something grilled.
Yeah.
But for a lot of that, we just stay home. I mean, if I want to go for something special, I don't want to go for a salad. No offense.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I got you.
You know, you can always have a salad. That's the big sentence when you're gluten free. Well, you can always have a salad here.
Right.
Well, I make a nicer one at home and I wouldn't be spending.
But if it's special, it's special, not salad.
Right.
Salad's nice.
Yeah.
Salad's not nice. That salad that Bruce made that one time, that was kind
was
of a
delicious.
Special salad.
Yes,
right?
That was special.
Right.
Yeah, so we try to stick with places where we can get something grilled.
Yeah.
Or we know we're going to eat that many points. Mm-hmm. And we'll eat half and bring half home. That's always a good kind of trick. Or we'll share something, you know. So we try to modify what we're going to eat by those things. So we can make it a lifestyle.
Right.
We still can go to the places we really like.
Right.
We just have to do it a little differently.
What's your favorite restaurant around here?
Before gluten or after since gluten?
Your favorite.
Oh, I like...
Right now.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
I like Burton's a lot. They have a lot of options for...
Burton's.
Mm-hmm,
Where's that?
It's in Blakeney.
Okay.
I like that a lot. They have a lot of options for people with gluten allergies. Mm-hmm. Tons and tons. And desserts, too.
Yeah.
I like... there's a great burger place. Burger 21 also has a lot of gluten-free mm-hmm. options. There's 131 Main has nice options mm-hmm. and a dedicated fryer.
A dedicated fryer.
That's what they call it.
For folks with gluten allergies.
Yeah. So they don't put anything that's breaded inside that only French fries.
Oh, that's
great. Yeah. So there's a ton. There's a really nice place in Rock Hill called Counter that mm-hmm. we like a lot. Fortis Mill in downtown Fort Mill.
Yeah.
Those are some of our favorites. We like Barcelona in Charlotte.
Right.
Downtown, it's a tapas place. Mm-hmm. As I said, I could pick at things forever. But that can get away from you, too. So you kind of have to be careful when you're
makes sense.
Eating a million different.
What are some of your kind of go-to foods? We might call them a food hack. Anything that kind of helps you get over a moment during a day where you got the munchies, but you mm-hmm. can reach for it and you can reach for it and not feel whatever we might feel.
We always try to keep fresh fruit in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got crackers. We've got popcorn, usually. Sometimes pretzels, depending, mm-hmm. Because snacks are kind of our thing, like salt or cheese. Oh, my gosh. And I try to keep, like, the 1-point Lidl, like, or the, well, not the triangles. Oh, my gosh, what is it called? Laughing Cow. Yeah.
I was going to say Happy Cow. But...
it's close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those kind of things. But then we also keep, like, because for me, if I'm really craving something,
mm-hmm.
I can eat twice as many points of things that don't even mm-hmm. matter. Right. Like that. And I'm still craving that thing. Yeah. So it gets to a point as if I've waited and stepped away and said, am I hungry? Am I thirsty? Or am mm-hmm. I just tired? Or what is the reason that I really want this?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I feeling lonely or sad or whatever? I try to get away from it. And if I'm still like, if it's becoming like all encompassing mm-hmm. that I really want this in a half an hour or an hour, and it doesn't go away, I have some. And then it's done.
Yeah.
And then I move on.
Where did you learn that?
At Weight Watchers.
That was a tip from a workshop.
I think it was
a
tip from somebody. Yeah. Like they were like, because it doesn't make sense. Sometimes you eat more points trying to work around it and get yourself satisfied.
Right.
Eat the thing.
Kind of like what they say with an earworm. That song you can't get out of your head.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes you've got to hear the song and then it'll go away.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's what,
that's kind of cool.
That worked for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the power of suggestion, but it kind of seems to be in sort of the same vein.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to sit there and obsess about it.
Yep.
If you don't also have another means, right? So,
so for me, that's what seems to work. And sometimes you just need to eat the piece of cake.
Yeah.
Maybe not all of it,
mm-hmm.
maybe a quarter of it, but you need to eat it. And the other thing is if there's more left, then I freeze it.
Yeah.
So I don't like to leave it. Like a ton of stuff laying in the house.
My recent conversation with Kathy, we touched for a bit, talked about willpower.
Mm-hmm.
And we even heard about willpower today.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that what we heard about willpower today was not in line with what Kathy thought about willpower.
Right? Yeah.
That Kathy believed willpower to be kind of this very powerful strength giving ability that you either have or you don't mm-hmm. have. And I'm not saying she's wrong.
Right.
And then today we heard, willpower doesn't work.
I thought that was kind of weird.
What's your take on willpower?
I think it's how you interpret willpower.
Yeah. How do you interpret it?
Something that I had that I was always dieting in my 20s too. Mm-hmm. When I lived in New York and we walked so much and we had better metabolisms and stuff. So it's harder to have willpower now mm-hmm. that your metabolism's slowing down. You're not moving as much as you do when you're, living in a big city, big vibrant city. You're driving more and stuff. I think it's determination over just, because to me, willpower kind of means a little bit to me,
mm-hmm.
like just not allowing it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And some people that works for me, that doesn't, that makes me worse sometimes. So I think just being determined, like I'm determined that I'm going to, have a good day. I'm going to have a good, healthy thing. But if something comes along the way that I'm having that 1 hour later, I'm mm-hmm. still thinking about that Tootsie Roll or whatever, it's okay.
Yeah.
That's what this program's made for. It's made to accommodate all food for all different kinds of people. For me, that is a little more of a gentle, okay, have the Tootsie Roll. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow, get away from the Tootsie Roll or whatever later. No more Tootsie Rolls, you know, or whatever. And everything works different. My husband, he's an M&M peanut. Like, that's his kryptonite, right? So we don't keep that in the house too often anymore once we realize that for a special occasion or whatever. But but for me, I'm to Courtney's point, I'm more of a moderator. If I can eat some of it, then I can put it away. And but I do like, I need to get it away.
Is
so the freezer is a good place.
Is Bruce a moderator?
Most things he's a moderator. I mean, he can go and not eat something for months. He's fine.
But not because I can't eat that ever.
No, no, it's never that. It's just, I think he just kind of had a little moment and said, this is my kryptonite. Mm-hmm. And then he realized it and said, you know, maybe I shouldn't just have it in the house.
Right.
So respect, out of respect, you don't do that.
Gotcha.
And that's another bonus of being a couple doing this together. You help each other that way.
Is there anything you can point to that really sticks out in your head? How you helped him or he helped you or both?
He's constantly helping me. He's constantly, it's just constantly encouragement. Mm. You know, you've got it. It's okay. Great. We high five when we get our weight results, even if it's good or bad, because it's just a step in that you're still doing it. So whether it's up or down or whatever, we're still doing it.
Do you argue with him when he says those things?
No.
You accept it?
Yeah.
Embrace it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's got a point and he's entitled to his opinion. So, there's no need to argue about that. That's silly.
Well, you know, and what I mean by that is, you know, oh, that looks really nice on you. And the person says, no, it doesn't. I think it looks awful. You know, like where it's that almost like knee jerk.
I think we've been married so long, we don't do that anymore.
So, but I guess if I hear, when I hear you kind of talk about your experiences in things, you strike me as someone who is, generally speaking, a very positive individual. You don't tend to look at the heartache of every last little thing that goes wrong. It doesn't tend to send you off into this terrible tailspin that there's no recovery from, that you kind of bounce back from it.
Yeah. You know, I have my moments, but I think for the most part, I'm pretty positive.
But it's a moment, really.
Yeah.
And if the moment ever gets more than a moment, it's probably not too terribly long and you've got supports in place and, you know, cognitively, you're very sharp.
Right? Oh,
you can kind of think your way through things as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I try to do that too. Yeah. Anticipate, you know, it's again, calculated risk. Mm-hmm. You know what you need to do.
Yeah.
And you do it. And that's thanks to my mother too. You know what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You do it or you don't. If you don't, this is where you land.
Yeah.
And if you do, this is where you land.
Right.
So that's, I kind of try to keep that in mind. It's not anything to be we tear ourselves apart and we're our own worst critics at, particularly women. Cause we're, you know, we always see these thin women on the magazines or whatever, or you live with around them or whatever. But, we just have to give ourselves like a little more grace. Just do a little better than you did yesterday.
Yeah.
That's
one 100 millionth of a percent better, right?
And that anything is, and look on the bright, try to look on the bright side. I mean, because where I started is way different from where I am. I may not always be 1,000,000% pleased with where I am right this second, but when I think back to where I started, and I think we've all said that.
Yeah.
There's some, that's a, that's a sight, you know? Yeah,
right.
And that's a memory that'll, I think, help encourage you.
After I hit my goal weight, I took a photograph of myself and I took that photograph and I photoshopped it over an old photograph of myself. So I had, you know, my quote unquote new self standing in front of my old self.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it wasn't, hey, look at what I've done here. I made that photograph because that big fat guy is always back there.
Mm-hmm.
He's always, like you said, the devil on your shoulder, right?
Mm-hmm.
That guy's always whispering in my ear every day, several times a day, you know, you're going to drive right past Dunkin' Donuts or you're going to go right past Jack in the Box. You're doing fine. Mm-hmm. You've not had any major weight gain, that type of stuff. Since you hit Lifetime, are there any photographs, anything like that that you've looked at and have kept because it's also motivating for you?
It's funny you said that. Somebody had said in a meeting about taking a photograph of themselves before. I was hanging on to all my old clothes.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I mean, I guess for fear of, because it's happened four other times or 10 other times probably, that I would gain it back.
Yeah.
And someone in a meeting said, you know, well, by the time you gain it back, will that still be in style? One. And two, like, you know, you need to trust yourself enough to not do that you've come this far. Why would you want to hang on to that then? So I got rid of most of my things and I passed things down along to the things that I loved. I passed down to people that I thought might enjoy them in our group.
Right.
And then there was one pair of pants that I held on to and I said, I got to get rid of them. But I was like, what if I get big again? They're classics. They'll always fit. And then I thought, stop it.
Yeah.
I put the pants on. I pulled the elastic waist out to where I would normally have had it on. And Bruce took a picture of me or two pictures of me and I gave them away. And now I have a picture of it and I can see the difference and I can see the progress. So whenever I feel like, you know, I can do this on my own, I don't need this, I go back to that picture and I see what that group and what the program did for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I hear folks say, you know, the program works, but they always leave themselves out of the mix.
Yeah.
I think the program can be effective to one who works it. You know what I mean?
And I think it's like any program. If you went to AA, for example, if you don't work the program, you're not going to be successful. Yeah. This is kind of the same thing, only we need food to live.
Yeah.
So for me, this even has a different twist to it, you know? But you got to work it.
Right.
And you have to do your own program. Bruce has to work his own. My husband has to work his own program. I have to work mine. You know, we say you do you, I'll do me.
Yeah.
It's all, but we do it together.
Yeah.
But you just have to, you know, I know he can eat more than I can.
Yeah. We have guidelines in our house.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're going to agree that certain things aren't coming in through the door.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to agree that we're not going to make it okay to just keep eating out all the time.
Right.
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 Take
your lunch with you, things like that. Eat your breakfast. Yep. Let me make breakfast, you know, whatever you make it, I make it, whatever. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we can do it for less points than getting fast food or whatever.
Right. So if you haven't mentioned them already, what are the hard and fast mutually accepted rules in the house as it relates to food?
We eat our dinner meals together. We decide on those like the week before.
Mm.
That's pretty hard. And if we're going to go out one night, then we plan that so we can plan around it.
Mm.
It's not difficult. You know, it's just that's works for us. And nobody knocks anybody else if we're having a hard time with, I'm sick of this, I don't want to eat chicken again. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
We are supportive to each other. Right. What can we do to help? What can we, you know, what would be better? What can we try? Should we go out to dinner? You know, should we share something if we do so that we're staying in our points or whatever? Or should we have a salad with it? You know, that kind of thing.
Having done this podcast, is there anything you can think of? Like, why didn't he ask me that?
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought that would be the first thing he asked. He didn't even mention it. Is there anything along those lines you can't understand why I didn't ask it?
No, I think you did a great job. I mean, you really went all the way back and
okay.
Yeah, I think you did a wonderful job.
Is there anything
you become quite a podcaster?
is there anything as we, because if you're anything like me, as you talk or you hear somebody else talk, suddenly you think of things you'd like to say about it. Or it reminds you of something else you'd like to say that may not be totally related, but kind of related. Is there anything that's on your mind you'd like to share that I don't have a question at hand for?
No, I think maybe just if you're thinking about it, then do something about it. Mm-hmm. If you've got an issue that you need to address. And, I mean, give it a chance.
Yeah.
If you have a weight issue and you've tried all kinds of things, try Weight Watchers. You know, all it is a meeting. It's not no one's going to bite you. And it's really a welcoming tribe, I think you'd find. Anybody, that's all I would add to it.
And let's pretend for a second there's somebody who's listening to this right now.
Mm-hmm.
and they are in a rough spot. They don't know if they want to do this anymore. And you can offer them a word of encouragement or a word of advice. What would, right. what would you say to that person who's really struggling right now, whether or not they want to continue with this Weight Watcher stuff?
I think we've all been there. I think every one of us in that room and in the program have struggled. Otherwise, we wouldn't be there. And I think when you're sick and tired of feeling like that, the way that you feel, and you want to take some action, I think that that's a great, this is a great welcoming place to go. Yeah. It's not scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, that scale can be scary some days, but, but it'll be no more scary mm-hmm. than the day you first come in.
Right.
From then it's all downhill. And I think that this is probably the strongest program that they have as far as and easiest to follow as far as foods and points and things like that. You can have a lot of variety. Right. I mean, the first year we barely ate point food, you know, just because there was plenty of options. It wasn't like, oh, I'm out of points. I got to eat a bowl of steam. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, I would say that the support is there. There's definitely someone in that room you will be able to relate to and you will be able to glean some kind of nugget to help you get through the next week.
There's people really kind of gnawing at the bit to want to be helpful to you.
Oh,
would
yeah.
you agree with that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Always.
Well, that's good stuff. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask this question. I'm just going to take advantage of this. I'm really going to put you on the spot. So make sure your answer is up to snuff here. As somebody who comes from the world of high fashion, what do you think of my style?
I like it. You know, I tell you that all the time. I love the sneakers and the jackets together. I think that looks awesome.
Well, Johanna LaVorne, I must tell you, this has really been a very interesting conversation. I really appreciate your willingness to spend time sharing your story. I'm 100% positive someone is going to be helped by the fact that you shared it. And anytime you'd like to fire up one of these Micratinis and sit down for another conversation, all you have to do is say the word.
I will.
Always have a home here at the Weighing In podcast. And
I appreciate what you're doing. You're helping people every single week.
We hope so.
Yeah, you are. I think it's awesome. I think it was a brilliant idea, and I'm glad that you're doing it.
I'm just so bored.
Today? No, surely not.
And if somebody would like to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Probably just grab me after a meeting or before a meeting. We usually get there a few minutes before so we can visit.
Tap you on the shoulder.
Yep, just say hi.
Face to face.
Yep.
Great. Yep. All right. Well, this has been certainly a pleasure. I will be back for some afterthoughts. Please have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Johanna, for your insights and your time. What a great story. Again, really enjoy speaking with her, listening to her. And, you know, when I got done completing the conversations with Bruce and Johanna, I thought to myself, you know, maybe in the future, I will talk to the person that I'm speaking with and ask them, what would you like to nominate? Who do you think would be a good person to share their story here on the podcast? And I think I might try that. Not from a standpoint of pressure necessarily, but just as throwing it out there, you know, it's one thing for me to say, hey, how about somebody come on in and share their story? It's another thing for somebody who's already kind of in the, shall we say, the hot seat to recommend, you know, I think you should talk to so-and-so, right? On another note, or actually on the same note there, our next guest is Martha Jean, who attends our Saturday meeting. And I'm really looking forward to hearing her story and her insights. And before I even point a microphone at her, I want to say thank you for the consideration and for jumping in. So again, I'm excited to speak with Martha Jean. That's going to be fun. I was talking with my wife Courtney here recently, and she made a comment after I had said something about tracking honestly, and she kind of gave me a look and said, "Well, not honestly, accurately." And I'm like, okay, accurately. Nice. She's always modulating the words, right? So that they fall a little easier. And accurate and honest, I think, is a good way. Using honest may be a judgment call, right? That we can fashion into a club. I'm not doing it honestly. We fashion that into a club and beat ourselves over the head with it, and that's not helpful. If it's inaccurate, then we can figure out, okay, well, let me go back in and see if I can do it accurately, right? Oops, made a mistake type thing. I had mentioned earlier in this episode, prior to cutting to the conversation with Johanna, that, you know, I've been looking up some studies and really statistics. Kind of, is there a crystal ball out there? Have there been any studies that look at what happens after you lose weight? And so when I first read it, I was like, what? That can't be right, you know? But you got to remember, these are studies. This is not, you know, you try to get a group of people that may represent a population, right? And I was looking at a meta-analysis, which basically means, it's a study that studies a bunch of studies, right? And draws conclusions from the conclusions of those studies as a whole, right? So looking for trends and things of that nature. And what I was really kind of interested in is what happens after somebody loses weight. What do things look like after a year, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years? And, you know, when you look at studies, you just don't read a study and say, oh, well, this is the be all end all, this is the final word. This is going to somehow predict my future. Case in point, you know, there's a lot of, I recently sat through a very brief training, but it was, as trainings go, it was a short training about genetics and health-related concerns, developing cancer, developing, you know, heart disease, so on and so forth. And, you know, sometimes you just have a particular gene that may get, you know, switched on when you hit a particular age, and now suddenly you develop an ailment, an illness, a disorder. You know, it can be mental health related. It can be physical health related. And I remember sitting next to this individual who was saying to me, well, I mean, then what's the point of trying to get healthy if you have a gene and it just turns on and then you get sick and then that's it? And I'm like, you know, geez, I used to think I was a pessimist before I sat down next to you. But remember, just because you have the gene, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to get activated inside of your body. And just because you've lost weight or are looking to lose weight or are working on losing weight or are currently losing weight, whatever you hear me say, don't make any snap judgments about your future. Okay, so this is not meant to cause you to panic or to be fearful or to say, what's the point? This is just merely information about, well, you know, this is the experience of a lot of people, not every person who loses weight, okay? And this particular study, I found it in the National Library of Medicine, PubMed Central. And the title of it is Maintenance of Lost Weight and Long-Term Management of Obesity, or what I like to term excess adiposity. Anyways, you know, they looked at 29 different long-term weight loss studies. And more than half of the lost weight by the people that participated in those studies, more than half, regained within 2 years. And by 5 years, more than 80% of the weight that had been shed was regained. Now, why would I tell you not to panic if you hear those statistics? This is why. It's what you don't know. You don't know what else is hidden in those numbers. Don't get stuck on the numbers, whether it's on the scale or whether it's in a study that, you know, you hear on the news. We hear about, oh, the recent study says that chocolate is good for your heart. And then a month later, a recent study says chocolate is bad for your heart. They oftentimes, when you hear about stuff in the news about this study or that study, number one, you have no idea whether or not that's a good study, whether or not scientifically does it hold water, right? Is it something that can be replicated by somebody else? All right, you don't know that. As it relates to these meta-analyses, like, is this somebody's fifth attempt at losing weight? Because I know I have at least five, probably more like 25 attempts at losing weight. It doesn't say whether or not that folks, well, on their 18th try, they lost 100 pounds and that came roaring back within 5 years, or, you know, they regained half of it within two. Because you and me and everybody in the room, everybody walks through the door, whether it's the first time or the fourth time at Weight Watchers, everybody who starts anew or truly is starting fresh, likely have had more than one attempt at losing weight. How many times have we heard from the folks that sit in a chair with me and talk to me about their journeys, how many of them have talked about the crazy diets that they tried and they worked, and then what? And then they came, and then I gained the weight back because it was really difficult to maintain, right? Don't get hung up on this, on these statistics, because they don't tell the story, and they certainly don't tell your story. You're in charge of that. Nobody else. You. Don't you let a statistic push you around and tell you how you're going to behave or what you're going to do. You know, we keep walking back into the room Saturday mornings or whenever your meeting is because we believe in it. Because we think it works for us. Many of us have been doing this for several years. And yeah, sometimes we do well and then the weight comes back on. But that's not the whole story. The story isn't that I was doing everything the same and then the weight just came back on. Like even in my case, right? Like moving upwards of 20 pounds. Hey, I'm what? I don't know. What are we going into? 2025? So like 4 years doing this? Going to be 4 years soon? Like, all right. And I've gained back just a shade under 20% of that weight that I lost. And when we look at these statistics, that's not half bad. You know, like I'm beating the odds right now, according to these researchers. And I'll bet you any amount of money that you are too. And if you're not beating the odds right now, you're well on your way to doing it. Remember that the weight's going to come back on because we revert to behaviors that encourage and promote weight gain, not weight loss or weight maintenance. Right? Remember that. Be accurate in your assessment of what's happening or not happening. And for, again, I'm going to make a plug here for the golden opportunities that are plateaus. That those are, remember, my outlook is usually if you're struggling, there's a lesson in here somewhere, right? There's something to learn. And those plateaus, don't be so quick to rush through it. Sit in it for a while. Marinate in the plateau. Adjust it. Accept it. Enjoy it. Love it. It's a plateau. Because you know what is supposed to happen when you reach your goal weight? You're supposed to be in a plateau for the rest of your life. Now, I don't know if that's fair, but that is the idea, right? So maybe practicing living in a plateau where you try to keep your weight, kind of like what they do with WW, right? Which is try not to move up over 2 pounds. But, you know, instead of not just moving up over 2 pounds, see if you can keep it. I would say if you're in a plateau, try not to lose another 5 for a while. Learn how to live in that space. That's okay. You can practice it. Go ahead and next time you're on the internet, Google intermittent plateaus for weight loss, long-term outcomes. See what you see. And if you find anything that flies in the face of what I'm saying, I would love to hear about it. But those people who are planning out plateaus in a way, see, you know, like long-term, like, so if I'm going to lose weight for 4 weeks, I'm going to go into a weight loss phase, and then I'm going to follow it up with 4 weeks of maintenance. And then I'm going to follow it up 4 weeks of weight loss. And then I'm going to follow that up 4 weeks of maintenance or a plateau. Like, not a bad strategy. It has the Weighing In with Patrick podcast seal of approval. Anyhow, that's my 2 cents here. At the end of the podcast, we're all in this together, and we are sometimes feeling like it's just us, like we are just on our own and nobody gets it and nobody understands. But that's why that room on that Saturday morning is so important, to hear that maybe somebody might have struggled. And you know what? You want to pick up your spirits? Go help somebody pick up theirs. Go encourage somebody else. Sometimes the best way to learn a skill is to teach it. So don't spend any time beating yourself up this week. Lift yourself up. Because you're worth it. And anyhow, I hope this episode 9 was enjoyable and caused you to look forward to episode 10, where we will be hearing about the trials, travels, and travails of one Martha Jean. Please join us for that. And that will put us into double digits. How about that? Double digits. Episode 10 of the Weighing In podcast, the meeting after the meeting. So until next time, again, thank you for tuning in. Feel free to send me some feedback, throw your hat in the ring, whatever, at my inbox at weighinginwithpatrick@gmail.com. And as always, hang in there. You can do it. Get out of there, Bear!